I'm Charlotte.
This is the Midnight Record.
The Midnight Record.
Who am I?
Who am I?
What is?
Honestly, the energy, the energy that you gave me during I'm right. I was like, I feel that so hard.
What is life?
We're two little sleepy pandas over here today. We both had little chaotic weeks, but
yeah,
we're back. We're ready to rock and roll.
Ready.
For sure.
Ready, Freddy.
Well, this is one of our deep dive episodes.
Yes.
So welcome to that.
Hi. Buckle up.
Yeah.
What are we talking about, though?
Yeah. So we're going to be talking about the vanishing of Kyle Fleischman. So I actually have a pseudo personal connection to this. So Kyle's dad, Dick, is cousins with my friend Laura's mom. So so essentially Kyle is Laura's third cousin.
Okay.
And Laura actually brought this to me a while ago. Mm-hmm. And finally I was like, okay, I know this is going to take a long time to research. Yeah. I'm really going to deep dive into this. So I actually started researching it like weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
She's definitely helped bridge some gaps for me.
Oh,
so
sure.
Laura, thank you so much. I really appreciate
yeah.
it. And gave me some really great insight. Also, I realized that when this episode will be coming out, it'll just be a few days before what would have been Kyle's 38th birthday.
Mm.
So happy birthday, Kyle.
Yeah.
He's actually a Libra like you.
Hey.
And we're like, when
we
this
Libras.
Comes out, we're only going to be 5 days before your birthday.
Don't talk about it.
So exciting! Birthday time! Mm. Why do you hate your birthday?
Well, first off, I'm mad.
First of all, I'm just mad.
I'm Second mad of all. Because last year was my 30th, and it just, like, wasn't what it should have been because of COVID.
Well, now Delta's getting bad, so it
right.
might not be.
So, like, can I catch a break? Can I move? Can I have a summer birthday? Because apparently summers are the only time that things open back up. Mm. I also don't feel like being 31 yet. I feel like I just turned 30.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's slow down.
I get that.
Slow down.
I completely understand. So yeah, so let's deep dive into the vanishing of Kyle Fleischman.
Let's do it.
All right. So Kyle was born on September 24th, 1983 to Dick and Barbara Fleischman. He was the oldest of three and has two younger siblings, a sister and a brother. The family moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from New York in 2000 due to his father's job at Fidelity Investments. I believe his father grew up in Queens and from what I understand, they were like living in that area and then they moved to North Carolina. The Fleischmans thought this would be a really great place for their kids to grow up. And I actually have a couple of friends who have recently moved to Charlotte, North Carolina, and they really do
I've
love
heard
it.
It's nice.
Yeah. So also me being named Charlotte and saying my name so many times over and over again.
Dissociating.
Yeah, slightly. So when they originally moved to North Carolina, Kyle was like 15, 16 years old, and he ended up graduating from Charlotte Catholic High School in 2002 and later graduated from Elon College in 2006 with a degree in business administration. He was a member of Kappa Alpha Fraternity, which I also find hilarious because right now I'm on Bama Rush TikTok and I hate it. Kappa Alpha Fraternity, from what I understand, was sort of a Christian-based fraternity, but they were mainly, like, focused on, you know, like, quote-unquote gentlemen, having, like, gentlemanly conduct and, you know, being helpful and being, like, a very considerate group of people, I guess. Mm. Which very much aligns into who Kyle was as a person.
Okay.
So after college, he moved back in with his parents for a little while in his hometown of Charlotte. And just, you know, a lot of us do that to save a little bit of money.
I did.
Yeah, I did too. Save a little bit. If you have the luxury to do it, you totally do it.
Yeah.
So he saved a little bit of money and he ended up moving into a South Charlotte condo with two of his best friends, one of which is Daniel Scagnelli, who we'll talk about later, and another one of their, I think it was another fraternity brother. So Kyle's father says that he was a very social person who liked to go out and have fun. He didn't have a girlfriend at the time of his disappearance, but he was dating pretty frequently. But his dad has said in interviews, like, nothing to the extent of, like, oh, well, I know he dated this girl for a year right. or something. Also, I listened to a lot of interviews with his dad because the way that his father speaks about him is just really, you really get a good sense of who Kyle was. Mm-hmm. And his dad says something like, well, you know, he's just doing the post-college thing that we all do. You know, you're just going around dating a lot of people, and that's just what you do.
That's just what you do.
And I'm like, accurate. That's
not what I did, but...
Kyle also had a ton of friends as well. Shortly before his vanishing, his mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. And when they got the diagnosis, Kyle told her that they would beat it together and that he loved her and supported her. He was by her side up until his disappearance, which was... also, just a couple of days before her first surgery for treatment for her cancer.
Yeah.
Kyle was a friendly, caring, and trusting person. His personality could lift anybody's spirits, and he made friends easily. According to his dad, he was a very helpful and accommodating person. And also, something I wanted to point out was, though Kyle grew up during a time where technology was rapidly evolving, his father recounts that he always preferred spending time with friends in person rather than online. Mm-hmm. He never really was in, like, the chat rooms or anything, like, early internet days, right. which that's all that was really out there, I guess.
I loved the chat rooms.
I love the chat rooms. I didn't really go into a ton of them, but...
I did. Me and my cousin always used to.
Work. It's very clear that he was, even from, like, an early age, even though he had this... whole other world that he could go deep dive into, he would rather have deep interpersonal connections with people than just sort of shallow conversations, it sounds like. So on the brisk fall evening of November 8th, 2007, Kyle went out with his friends, including his friend Daniel Scagnelli, who is his best friend. He had lived with him previously. And they were both in the same fraternity. They all went out to see a Dane Cook show.
I used to like Dane Cook.
Me too. He was big at that time.
Yeah, I had one of his comedy specials on DVD.
Oh, I downloaded so many of his comedy specials on my, like, iPod Touch. Or not Touch, just the original iPod.
Yeah.
Dane Cook was actually Kyle's favorite comedian. And they went to go see his show at the Bobcats Arena, which is now the Spectrum Center in downtown Charlotte. Before the show, they all met up at Daniel's house. And they were actually they had a lot of celebrating to do that night. So they were celebrating the birthdays of a close friend and Daniel's wife, as well as Daniel recently passing a fitness professional certification. And they were also celebrating the new condo that Kyle was moving into. Also, Kyle at the time was a healthcare recruiter for Maxim. So they knew they would all be having a few drinks before the show and maybe even after the show. And they didn't want to drive home. So Kyle left his car at Daniel's house and they all took a cab into downtown Charlotte. Daniel's house was about 3 miles outside of the city center. They ended up meeting with Kyle's mom and sister at the Dane Cook show. After the show, the group walked over to a popular bar that night. After the show, the group walked over to a popular bar for the night. And at that time, they started splitting up slowly but surely. I think his mom and his sisters were the first one to leave. Mm-hmm. And then the close friend left. And then it ended up just being Daniel and Kyle. Mm-hmm. And they ended up at the Buckhead Saloon in downtown Charlotte, located off of 5th and College Streets. I looked up how far away from the Spectrum Center is. It's literally right down the block. It's right. less than a block away.
Right.
And it's this huge, it's now called Fitzgerald's, so the Buckhead Saloon closed. That location was reopened as Fitzgerald's, which is now also permanently closed. Mm-hmm. But the signage is still up, and it's this huge... It looked like this very large space. I mean, mm-hmm. it was just massive. But Apparently, the Buckhead Saloon was very much, as its name says, it had, like, peanuts on the ground and, like, sawdust right. and deer heads everywhere. And it was, like, sort of, it was supposed to be, like, a neighborhoody country type of bar, Western. I guess. Yeah, Western theme, something like that. I don't know when it was renamed Fitzgerald, but I'm sure that the disappearance of Kyle, like, contributed to that.
Right. They wanted to kind of distance themselves from it,
yeah. I'm sure. Kyle and Daniel had a few drinks at the bar, but Daniel had to work the next morning and decided to close out his tab around 1 o'clock in the morning, which I read a couple of places on, like, Reddit, and people were like, well, if they both work so, like, have corporate jobs, then why are they out so late? It's like, girl, I'm just gonna say, obviously you've never met anybody who works at corporate.
Right. Like, and especially, like, even knowing you have to work in the morning, sometimes once you get out, once you're drinking, you just want to keep having fun. Like, you're not really thinking about it. You might be regretting it the next morning.
Sure.
But you're not thinking about it at the time.
Also, these two guys are, like, 24, 25. Yeah. Daniel saw Kyle talking to a girl at the bar and asked Kyle if he wanted to stay or leave. And Kyle said that he was going to stay a little bit longer because he had made some new friends and wanted to hang out at the bar for a little bit. Mm-hmm. Daniel said that Kyle was not intoxicated when he left the bar and he was still having a really good time. Daniel thought that he was fine on his own and went home without Kyle. You know, they'd been friends for years. According to Daniel, this was not, like, a weird occurrence.
Right.
You know, he's left Kyle before with friends. And Kyle was also, like, a 6 foot, you know, tall guy. I mean, I'm not saying that appearance doesn't automatically not get you, like, fucked with. But
in our society, though, like, it would be a little more worrying to leave your girlfriend alone at the bar with, like, some guy she had met that night if you had been out drinking.
Yeah.
Or, I mean, and even sometimes then it does happen depending on, like, knowing your friend and knowing, like, how they carry themselves and whatnot. Like, totally. I have friends who are, like, fine when they drink, but I have friends who don't handle their alcohol very well and I would never leave them alone at the bar.
I was going to say, friends of, like, all genders for me, because I have many friends, regardless of their gender, where I'm like, I don't leave you at the bar by yourself.
Right.
Like,
because you know their personality, their mannerisms, like, kind of how they carry themselves.
Right. And again, this obviously didn't alarm Daniel. Mm-hmm. No red flags were going off. He's like, he's got his phone, he's got his wallet, he can get home, he's fine. He's literally 3 miles away from his house. Like, he can grab a cab, it'll be fine.
Right.
So, video surveillance shows Kyle getting into an altercation with 2 or 3 men later on at the bar. Apparently, one of the guys that he got into this verbal altercation with was actually the boyfriend of the girl that he was talking to.
Yeah.
And, like, they were out, he was, you know, I'm sure it was like a, hey, what the fuck, man? He's like, whoa, sorry, didn't know that was your chick. And also, why is your chick talking to me?
Yeah, and then also sometimes when there's alcohol involved, like, it's not, like, it's not usually as civilly discussed as it might be if there is an alcohol involved. Like, it just, like, it's,
yeah,
tempers going and
things can be misconstrued. Yeah, absolutely. And absolutely. Very that. And, you know, he had been dancing with her a little bit on and off. There were a few reports that said that he was actually talking to, like, 2 or 3 girls and, like, maybe just, like, a group of girls. Mm-hmm. So I think that maybe if it was a group of girls and one of the girls' boyfriend saw him and he just saw Kyle talking to her, then maybe that's what happened.
Yeah. Or even if he just didn't know she had a boyfriend, like, how is he to know?
Right. Absolutely.
If anything, that's on her.
Right. So, so that he was definitely talking to a woman, if not a couple. And, you know, like I said, it was, you know, one of the girl's boyfriends and a few of his buddies that confronted him. Mm-hmm. So that happened around, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. Kyle left, which is right around when right around when the bars in Charlotte start closing down, they stop selling alcohol. In the state of North Carolina, you have to stop selling alcohol at 2 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, so
Maryland's the same.
Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of states. Mm-hmm. Very few states like New York. Well, New York has a 2 o'clock, but then you can get a permit for a 4 a.m. bar right. if you want. But anyway, so the altercation happens right around when the bar is closing. Mm-hmm. And Kyle leaves the bar shortly after, forgetting his coat, wallet, and debit card. Oh, he left around 2:20 a.m. And even though it was 30 degrees outside, he didn't go back inside for any of his stuff.
Why was his wallet in his coat?
I think so.
Okay.
And, you know, he did have his phone on him, mm-hmm. but later on it does die, unfortunately.
Right.
And, I'm sure his debit card was behind the bar.
Yeah. And he probably started a tab.
Yeah. And, you know,
I've forgotten my coat before. Yeah. And my debit card.
I've forgotten a lot. I've forgotten things when I'm stone cold sober.
Yeah. Same.
You know, so it's like, I did go on Reddit a lot because mm-hmm. I wanted to read a lot of people's takes on everything. Mm-hmm. And so many people were criticizing him from that. But I'm like, they were like, oh, he must have been really fucked up to have left all of his stuff. And it's
not
like,
really.
No, actually, no. Well, like, especially if it comes, you know, sometimes if it's a, if you're not used to giving your card over for like a tab or something, that can happen. Or, my thought process is like, he didn't realize how late it had actually gotten, mm-hmm. and he didn't realize that the bar was about to close, and he left to go get something to eat really quick and then come back to get all of his stuff, but he didn't realize that the bar was closed at that point.
Or maybe he had just gotten into an altercation. Maybe he was all worked up and stormed out.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a lot of factors. Like I said, I'm sure he wasn't, like, stone cold sober. Like, I've been drinking and forgot things, but I'm not, like, blacked out drunk. Like,
no.
I'm just not thinking about it. I'm like,
doo-doo-doo. Yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe, yeah. And it doesn't, you know, I also, like, there are so many people that are like, how is he walking around in 30 degree weather with no coat on? Baby, I've done that before. Plenty of times.
I used to go to the club and stand in a line around the corner in a little mini dress and heels when it was snowing.
Yeah.
I mean, that was by choice. I didn't bring a coat because I didn't feel like having to check it, but...
I did that to myself.
But I did it. And when, I mean, once you start drinking, there's such a thing as, like, the alcohol blanket.
Right, absolutely.
That makes you not realize the cold as much.
Yeah, and, like, Daniel in interviews have also said, like, you know, he's had interviews with people who are like, was that weird that he left his stuff there? He's like... No, he was like, I had been with Kyle multiple times where he'd forgotten his coat mm-hmm. or his scarf or the this or the that or like yeah. whatever. Just like things just happen. And, you know, I don't really think that that is like a cause for alarm. So I really do think that he left, didn't realize what time it was. And then when he tried to go back, and of course, if you're a bartender or a server and you're like, oh, this drunk guy is trying to get back into the bar, mm-hmm. blah, 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 they're not going to answer the door for right. you usually.
Right.
He was seen talking to the same girl that he had been seen inside with, and they talked and walked across College Street. It is believed that Kyle was now possibly very intoxicated when he left the bar when he began walking down the street with that girl. She leaves at some point, and shortly thereafter, Kyle was seen walking around towards Fuel Pizza on another surveillance camera. Kyle had stopped in the pizza place and ordered two slices of everything pizza. An employee recalls seeing him at the restaurant around 2:30 in the morning. So that's, you know, 30-minute window between... Well, it's really only 10 minutes between him leaving the bar right. and him going to this place. And again, I looked up how far away Fuel Pizza was from... the Buckhead Saloon, and it's a block and a half.
Right.
You know, if he was a little drunk, maybe it took him a little bit longer, but it was right around the yeah. corner. It's thought that he had around $6 of cash on him. But this hasn't been fully proven. They've also said that maybe he had like $9 on him. Mm. The cashier at Fuel Pizza said that he remembered Kyle that night and he seemed to be drunk when he arrived there. Yeah. After Kyle left the pizza place, he was never seen again. He started So the reason why they think that he had around like $6 or $9 is they looked at his bank account records and they looked at how, and they also asked like how much his food was, and that probably made the most sense with all of his expenses and then what he took out of, took out. But regardless, he didn't have a ton of money on him, obviously. And if he left his debit card, I mean,
he didn't have much on him in general.
Yeah, he really didn't. He did start making phone calls around this time, the first being at 2:42 a.m. He made a total of 8 phone calls in a very short amount of time. Mm-hmm. He first tried to call his father's business phone, which I find odd because Kyle would have known that that phone would have been off during those hours of the night.
Maybe he had his dad and his phone like twice. I'm trying to think at the time. I don't know what type of phone he had. I don't know if this was like, this was like flip phone time.
It was 07. I don't know. Yeah.
So it could be whatever, but he might've had his dad either. You can have it in as a contact with multiple numbers or like 2 separate numbers and one's work once. And maybe when you're drunk, you just click on the first one and don't even think about which it is. Like that, I can see doing that.
Well, so he did, he called this number 3 times. Mm-hmm. But in a lot of interviews, I mean, he and his dad were really close, and they worked in buildings that were like across the street from each other. Mm-hmm. So they did have lunch a lot, and they had lunch like 2 days before Kyle went missing. Mm-hmm. And so what I think is that he might have called his, because again, like you can have multiple numbers on someone's contact, and perhaps he called his dad and at the office a few days previously, and he was going through his recents and was just like, and called the wrong number.
I could see that.
So I think that that might have happened, but I'm, you know, of course we don't actually know. Yeah. So he also called his roommate, his sister, and Daniel multiple times, but he didn't leave any voicemails on any of their phones. The calls were extremely short as well, lasting around 10 seconds, but didn't seem to be able to ring long enough to allow someone to answer. His last call was at 3:38 a.m. and his phone died shortly after that. Mm. So in the course of 56 minutes, he made 8 phone calls, 10 seconds apiece roughly. And some people have said that perhaps that was him signaling his friends and like loved ones that he was in trouble. Yeah. I personally think that it might have been a situation where he was just drunk and was like, who's gonna answer my phone call? Like,
yeah.
And or like, who's gonna answer my phone so that they can come and get me, because yeah, I'm stuck now. Like, right. What am I supposed to do?
Right.
I
could definitely see that.
You know, I think that it, he was just trying to figure out, like, if anybody was up and about. Because, again, like, his sister was in that area, but she wasn't, like, around anymore, obviously. So,
right.
The next morning, when Daniel woke up and saw Kyle's car was still in his driveway, he didn't immediately think that anything was wrong, but he was like, this doesn't feel right.
Right.
You know, he thought at first that perhaps Kyle had, you know, again, he was single. He might have ended up going home with a girl.
Yeah.
And just went straight to the office and he couldn't get a hold of him because he didn't have his charger or anything like that. Because he did try to call Kyle a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And
phone was dead.
His phone was dead. So he wasn't able to answer him. And he ended up calling his office manager, and the office manager said that he was like, well, he's not in yet, but you know, maybe
he's late.
Like, yeah, maybe he's running late or something. We'll keep you posted, if and when he shows up. You know, and it's always that sort of thing when like someone goes missing or you're worried that someone has gone missing. First couple of hours, you're like, okay, I'm going to try to be logical and be like, okay, yeah, well, maybe this has happened. Maybe this happened. Maybe, and that's very much what Daniel was doing. Mm-hmm. Where was So like I said, he did notice the missed calls from Kyle and tried calling him back, but everything just went straight to voicemail. Daniel was getting a little bit worried, and after Kyle's boss called Daniel to tell him that he never actually showed up that day, that's when Daniel decided to call Kyle's mom and Kyle's roommates to see if they had seen him or if they knew where he was. Obviously, they didn't, and Daniel had to inform them that Kyle never came back the night before to get his car. Mm-hmm. So, Daniel ended up calling the police to report him as a missing person, but the police told Daniel that they weren't going to do anything about his missing friend until the 48-hour mark. You know, unfortunately, you know, they used the thought process of, well, the reasoning of, well, he is an adult and he's probably just sleeping it off somewhere, yada, 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 yada. Or, you know, he is an adult, maybe he decided to skip town or something like that. And they do say that quite often throughout the investigation, which is just, like, so irritating to me because, again, it's not in Kyle's nature to have just skipped town.
Listen to the family and friends' intuition. They know the person they're talking about best.
Right.
And if there is a chance that he did act out of character, at least the precautions are being taken. But in a lot of cases, we find that these families are right about their intuition, about their gut feelings. So let's just listen.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. And like Daniel in his interviews was like, you know, was obviously very frustrated about that. He's like, they didn't have any sense of urgency. They didn't take anything seriously, you know, and it's just, it's really irritating because those first 48 hours are critical. They are so...
That's why there's a show called 48 Hours.
Literally. So it's like, if you're not going to put out a missing persons report for 48 hours, I understand this person is an adult, but then what is sort of like the point of you putting out a missing person?
We just missed a critical window.
Yeah.
You wanted to wait.
Exactly. And it just really,
it's frustrating.
It boils my blood.
Yeah.
So though cell phones and social media weren't used quite as often as they are used today, I mean, Facebook, I think it just started like a couple of years previously. Cell phones and social media weren't used as much as they are today. Daniel had the idea of putting Kyle's story on Facebook so that friends and family could send tips in case they were to hear something. Later that morning, he created a Facebook page about Kyle's disappearance. So this is like a day and a half after he's gone missing. So we have that initial day of him calling around, the police not, you know, him putting in a police report. They're not going to do anything. Then the next morning, he decides to create this Facebook page about Kyle going missing. And by that afternoon, almost 50,000 people had joined the page and started to share Kyle's photo and information. That is literally like virality at that time.
Yeah.
So that's just like crazy town Magoo, how quickly that all happened. So thanks to the Facebook page, the community of Charlotte banded together and hundreds of people met up to start searching for Kyle. I mean, literally, his dad has recounted that like within 2 days, there were hundreds upon hundreds of people who were scouring the entire city for Kyle. Which honestly, to have that type of support, like from their community,
don't have it from the authorities,
which I'm sure meant a ton to them.
Oh yeah.
People investigated the people at the bar that night and talked to cab drivers who had been in the area. A local cab driver saw a man that looked like Kyle wandering around outbound North Davidson Street around 3:25 a.m. The driver explained that he appeared disoriented, but the driver didn't stop to help him. And at this point, his phone hadn't died yet, so maybe he was on the phone and
just kind of stumbling around.
He's got it or something like that. The police tracked down and talked with the cashier at the pizza place as well. And when Kyle's dad heard the order, which again was two everything slices, he knew immediately that it was Kyle that had come in because that's his order. Mm-hmm. And like, apparently Kyle would like eat everything and anything.
Yeah.
And, he was like, oh yeah, that's my kid. He would totally get bang for his buck for sure. The cashier said that Kyle came in alone, which was slightly strange for that area because a lot of people just come in with their friends after drinking at the bar. And he did keep track of Kyle for a little while, but then the place got busy and then he lost track of him.
Mm-hmm.
Also something they didn't write down, but something I find very weird is that there is very little surveillance of him, which again, I understand it like 07, like I get it, but he's literally in downtown Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to sit like across, there are plenty of like banks and like huge corporations. You're going to sit there and tell me that you can't find any other surveillance footage except for a little bit of him leaving the bar and talking to that girl. And right when he gets to Fuel Pizza, the pizza place, like there isn't anything.
He's walking by any other shops or anywhere that I'm having.
There isn't anything
else. Security camera.
It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's very weird. To me. So, which automatically makes me think like foul play for sure, but I have lots of theories, so we'll go into that later. All but, right. The police tracked down the phone pings and found a startling discovery. Kyle's phone pings left a trail from Fuel Pizza down North Davidson Street until 4 a.m. when it's believed his phone died or was shut off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the NoDa area of Charlotte, which is the North Davidson Street area, is the arts and entertainment area for the city. It's been described as like the hippie, more like liberal part of town. But the area surrounding NoDa is very rough.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a pocket of like safety, I guess. And then everything surrounding it is like rough and tumble.
Mm-hmm.
This part of town and this street in particular is said to be an extremely dangerous and violent area. Kyle knew this part of town was dangerous and would have never willingly ventured down to this area. He's a native. He knows not to go down there late at night. You're going to sit there and tell me that he did that by himself? That's just weird. This part of Charlotte was known to be inhabited by drug dealers and members of the violent MS-13 gang, which is an international criminal gang that organized in Los Angeles in the 1970s and 80s. By the early 2000s, U.S. authorities estimated that, U.S. authorities investigated MS-13 in Charlotte, North Carolina, and that work eventually led to the charges against 26 gang members, including 7 trial convictions in January of 2010, 18 guilty pleas, and 11 multi-year prison sentences. So, like, and you can read more about MS-13 if you want. So, his phone puts him at the entrance of Cordelia Park, which is notorious for drug and gang activity. Some people have speculated that Kyle went there for drugs, and, you know, I personally don't think that he would have been the type of person that would have been doing, like, coke or heroin or smack or anything like that, but, you know, he might have been there to buy weed.
Right.
Like, at the time, obviously, weed was still considered a drug and not like a medication like it is now. And he might have very well gone in there to purchase something, not realizing they didn't have his wallet on him or, you know, not thinking about it or whatever. I'm not sure. That's like the only logical reason why I think that he would have been there by himself.
Right.
Because at dusk, you do not want to be in that park.
Yeah.
The park is roughly 2 miles away from the Buckhead Saloon, which means that he would have had to walk about 35 to 40 minutes in 30-degree weather without a coat. Which, if that's your only option, I get it, but I don't know. It's just a little weird to me. So the cab driver that they had spoken to about seeing Kyle around, 3:30 in the morning, did see him walking down North Davidson Street on the 1100 block. And he actually, the cab driver, commented on how odd it was because it was cold out and this person wasn't wearing a coat. But again, he saw that he looked like disoriented and he probably was like, oh, he's getting a cab or a friend's coming and picking him up or something. Police called in for two cadaver dogs to search this area. They used one dog at a time to get more accurate results. The dogs had been given Kyle's scent from the jacket he had been wearing and left at the bar. This is also very interesting because the police department, the Charlotte PD didn't have cadaver dogs themselves, so they had to outsource it from just like a private company, and it was like this couple. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so which has helped with the public knowing more about what they actually found during that cadaver dog investigation. Because they've spoken a little bit more about it. So the dogs took the handlers down to Fuel Pizza and made a big loop around the sidewalk. This led the handlers to believe that Kyle thought someone was following him and that he wanted to try and lose them. The dogs then continued down North Davidson Street with their handlers. They had to call it quits once they reached the park because it was too dangerous for the dogs and the handlers at the time. Like I said, it was getting too late.
Right.
Started seeing some seedy characters around. They're like, we're going to bounce. Well, why don't we do that? The next day, the handlers took the dogs back and picked up where they had left off. And the dogs tracked Kyle's scent past the park and into a construction area about 200 yards away. One of the handlers claimed that when they got to the construction site, she could smell death. Mm. Like, not just the dogs, but she could smell it.
Right.
And so she actually had the dogs, like, loop around that construction site to try to figure out where it was coming from, but they were never able to figure it out. Interesting. And something interesting to note is that the ground had been recently tilled, so there was a ton of, like, new dirt. Mm-hmm. So if perhaps someone had been buried there, you wouldn't be able to figure out where they were.
Right, because it was all kind of dug up, or not dug up, like, rotated around.
Right, exactly.
So, like, any, like, fresh digging, you wouldn't be able to see anymore.
Okay. Yes, yes, yes. She said it had a very strong scent of a dead animal, but she really did think it could possibly be human.
Right. Like, I mean, for me personally, I don't know. I've never been around, like, a dead body that is decaying, but I've smelled, like, a dead animal on the side of the road or something like that. So I'm sure the scents aren't super far off.
There's a very distinct smell of death in general.
Yeah.
That I think that if you've smelled anything dead once, and you'll probably be able to point it out once again. And it's also, like, she handles cadaver dogs, so she would be a little bit more in tuned with maybe what is animal and what is potentially human. But again, it's also a construction site. So, like, I don't know. Maybe someone, like, dumped their dog there. So I don't know. I don't know.
There's a lot of not knowing, but...
There's a lot of not knowing, but a lot of, like...
Questions.
Many questions that have still not been answered. Mm-hmm. Both dogs they brought in took the same path around the construction site. And they actually ended up bringing in more dogs to help search the area to maybe find this body or whatever was causing that smell. Still couldn't find it. The residents of that area would actually complain about the foul odor that smelled like a dead animal, but nothing was done about it. Like, people were actually calling the police department saying, there is something dead over there and we, like, it needs to be fixed.
Right.
And they didn't do anything about it. Ugh. And they find this out, like, years, like, Kyle's family finds this out years later from residents in that time, and they're like, What do you mean the police didn't do anything about it? One of the handlers also made mention of a homeless man who was on North Davidson Street and began talking to him. The homeless man told the handler that he saw gang members in the park kill Kyle that night, but he was not sure what happened to the body. In 2009, a federal judge ordered a search warrant for the construction site on 16th and North Davidson Street. The area was searched, but the judge sealed off the documents to the public. It is unknown if they found anything in the search at that time. It was also noted that the ATF was involved in this case, and they are usually only involved in cases with drug, gang, or gun violence. ATF stands for the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, which is organization within the U.S. Justice Department. But, like, usually they're only called in on very serious crimes.
Right.
Think Breaking Bad type shit.
Right.
The FBI, also involved in this case, have since sealed off the case records. This may be due to them finding new evidence or a key witness, or just the fact that the case is still open. Mm-hmm. There has also been no activity on Kyle's bank account, and his phone was never turned back on. So I have a few theories.
Okay.
And we're going to go over them.
Let's do it.
So there are a few main theories people and authorities have about this case due to the location Kyle was in. The most widely believed theory is that while intoxicated, Kyle walked into the park and was found by gang members. It's thought he was robbed and killed by them, and his body was disposed of in an unknown location. This theory is the one that seems very cut and dry, and it's sort of the one that the police are going with the most. Right. I personally just don't think it's as cut and dry as they're saying it is. Yeah. I don't think he would have gone into that park willingly.
Right.
Or of his own accord. I really don't. Even for pot. Like, I really don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause again, he knew the area. He knew the risks. Right. So another popular theory is similar to the first one, and it's simply that a random robbery went wrong. Mm-hmm. They think someone may have seen him in the intoxicated condition that he was in and thought it was a good opportunity to get some money. But when they found out he had no money, they might have either gotten angry and killed him, or maybe Kyle fought back and that's how he was killed.
Right.
That's actually the one that his parents, especially his father, really thinks happened.
Mm-hmm.
His parents do wholeheartedly believe that he is in that construction site.
Right.
Which now obviously has a huge apartment building on top of it.
So it's not like it can easily be searched.
No. And apparently the foundation was poured in that area. I want to say only a few months after he went missing. So it was a very short window.
Right.
Yeah, it's really.
Honestly, knowing that that was there, they should have halted the construction.
One would have thought.
Yeah.
One would have thought.
Why would they do that? Why would they be logical?
Why? No, they would not. However, there are a lot of people who do not believe that gang violence was involved. They do believe he was murdered, but are unsure why or where his body was taken. Others offer the idea that he may have fallen into a body of water and drowned or died from the cold. But that theory has a lot of holes in it because there are no nearby bodies of water in the area that he was potentially in. And if he had passed away from the cold,
his body would probably have been found.
His body would have been found. Yeah. That's
a no for me.
Yeah, those don't make any sense to me. So, there are very few amount of people who believe that he may have disappeared on his own. But again, that doesn't make any sense because that really wasn't the type of person that he was. He had no financial trouble that we know of, and he was determined to be with his mother while she was going through her cancer treatment. Like, he literally said to her, "We're going to fight this together." I don't know why he would have said, "We're going to fight this together," and then have gone to the show and hung out with all his friends that night and all these things, and then left everything. That one doesn't make it, makes absolutely no sense to me.
He didn't even, how would he even get away? He didn't have any of his, he didn't have anything.
Right. Where would he have gone?
No.
Tell me.
That was a no for me too.
It's going to be a no for me, dog. Mm-hmm. Personally, I think it's a little strange that Kyle didn't leave any voicemails or was able to connect with anybody by phone. I just don't know why he would have kept calling the same numbers like over and over and over again, right. and why he wouldn't have just left a voicemail. Part of me is like, well, if he was in trouble, maybe he was just clicking phone numbers, maybe to like get someone to answer. And that was his way of like signaling of like, hey, I'm in big trouble.
Right.
But again, some people are like, well, he just didn't make the right phone calls. It's like, well, that's easy to say now.
Right.
It's very easy to say now. You know, and I also, him leaving his jacket and everything in the bar really makes me think, like I said earlier, that he was planning on going out really quick and then coming right back, either meeting somebody, like I said, going and grabbing some food really quick and then coming right back and just not realizing what time it was. Okay, so this next theory, it's going to be a little long-winded, and I really just want you to stay with me.
Stay with me now.
Alien abduction. Just stay with me, please. Yes, oh my God. So this theory might be a little out there, and I certainly have not filled in all of the holes.
Right.
There are just some really weird coincidences, and some of them take place in parts of the country that are not close to North Carolina. But, like, I also want you to be aware that we have also dealt with plenty of serial killers or people who human traffic others who do travel a lot to do that. So, right. just, again, stay with me. I am not saying that any of this has ever been proven.
Right. It's a theory.
It's my theory, and I've seen some people talk about it on the interwebs, but I have compiled a lot. I think it's... a very interesting and take that I don't think is not completely out of the realm of possibility.
I'm here for it. Let's go.
Yeah. So, okay. So there have been a lot, and I mean a lot of young men of like college age who have gone missing between like 06 and 09. Perhaps too many, one would say. One of which was 18-year-old Justin Gaines that went missing from Wild Bill's bar on November 1st, 2007.
I've heard of that one.
Only 8 days before Kyle's disappearance. A couple of friends drove Justin to Wild Bill's, but for some reason they went home and Justin ended up staying. Mm-hmm. Sounds similar.
Yeah.
They told him they could not come back for him when he was ready to leave. Justin went missing in Duluth, Georgia, which is about a 3.5-hour trip to Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. And it was only a week beforehand. According to Wild Bill's website in 2007, Justin was last seen walking toward a car that he had called his ride with two men standing beside the car. Reports say he was seen in the parking lot of Barnacles, which is another bar nearby, with the same two men. He and Kyle were both out on a Thursday. These two bars were approximately 3.5 hours from one another. Kyle was 6 foot, 24, brown hair. He was muscular and weighed about 180 pounds. Justin was 5'11", 210, with a muscular build. He had blue eyes and brown hair and a short buzz cut. If you put their pictures side by side, they look very similar. Justin was 18 and Kyle was 24. Justin reportedly got into that bar because he used a fake ID.
Right.
But both men reportedly stepped outside of the bars that they were in to make phone calls, and neither one of them were seen ever since. Mm-hmm. Then we have Ken Grono, who was last seen in a hotel bar where he left at 1 a.m. without his jacket or wallet in Otisville, New York. This is a little bit later, but Ken Grono went missing in late 2018. But again, he left his bar without his jacket or his wallet. He was also in his 20s. He was 27. Same with Kyle. Same age range as Justin. All of them were seen leaving their bars past midnight. And Ken and Kyle were both seen leaving with no possessions. Mm-hmm. If these three are potentially connected, My suspicion is that a potential serial killer would have most likely put a substance in one of their drinks. Because again, Kyle, when Daniel left Kyle at the bar an hour before the bar closed, he seemed fine. And like, alcohol can hit you pretty quickly, but yeah. You know what else can? Roofies.
Yeah.
So, sure. They might have been drugged and they went outside without their jackets because maybe they were really hot from the drugs or something, or they were feeling a little lethargic and they needed like a jolt of fresh air. Justin and Kyle went missing in November, and then Ken went missing in December. Mm-hmm. So cold, cold, cold. Once outside, the potential perpetrator could have offered to take them home or to a hospital or some other thing to like get them into their car. Most likely the men would have been hallucinating, maybe scared, or just willing to follow orders. And this would have caused a lot of pre-planning where there were no witnesses or surveillance cameras in the area that this potential perpetrator could have picked them up, which is why they were never seen again. Mm-hmm. Then we've got like three other guys who went missing within this decade-long span. Max Walker went missing at Buckhead Saloon, another Buckhead Saloon, but in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He was last seen by a friend at 1:45 in the morning, right outside the bar. His body was recovered in the Milwaukee River 2 days later. Max Walker went missing in late July of 2006. Mm-hmm. Now, okay, so this is where I'm like, there are a lot of holes, and I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm not totally sure if Ken is connected with this group of men, but I just thought the similarities between all of their cases were really fascinating. Mm-hmm. But I do think perhaps five of these six guys that I'm talking about might have directly been a part of a potential serial killer situation. Right. Then we have Michael Barbary, who went missing on February 9th of 2009. He went missing on early Friday morning around like 1:30 a.m. He actually like ended up supposedly walking into the woods and freezing to death. Mm-hmm. Because he went missing in Colorado. Okay. I know that it's sort of far, but again, stay with me, I promise.
I'm here.
So all of these guys are going missing Thursday night or early Friday morning. All of them are going missing within the first week of the month. Then last but not least, you have Brian Schaefer, who went disappearing. We're off to disappear. We're going to go disappear. Brian Schaefer disappeared Friday night or early Saturday morning. He was last seen at 1:15 a.m. on either 3:31:06 or 4:01:06. If you want to get like super technical, like, yeah, it was early Saturday morning. This was also the first week of the month. And he went missing in Columbus, Ohio. He was an Ohio State student. OH! All of these deaths have been potentially linked to the Smiley Face Killer.
I was gonna say that. I didn't know if you were leading up to that, but I didn't want to spoil it.
But again, like nothing's been proven.
Right.
And the Smiley Face Killer primarily worked in New York from like what we know. But again, they're all incredibly similar, all around the same age. They all look like they could be related. Mm-hmm. First week of the month, literally roughly around the same time of the night. It just is a little like, it's just a little odd. So, again, nothing has ever, like, come out of that. I just think that is a very, like, fascinating theory that Kyle might have actually been a part of this whole other, like, of a serial killer.
And with Smiley Face Killer, I forget which podcast I was listening to about it, there's actually thoughts that it could be, like, a whole, like, group of people, like, through this, like, dark web type thing that are kind of, because it's in so many different areas, like going out and killing, like kind of like a network of killers is one of the theories behind the whole smiley face thing, which is scary.
Right. Very scary. Yeah. Sorry. And when I said like it was mainly in New York, it's because it like broke in New York City.
Right.
It mainly happened in like the mid, yeah, the Midwest for sure. So, you know, I really hope that that is not the case with Kyle or with any of these young men, of course. Like, a life loss is horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that the Charlotte Police Department... I don't think I would believe this theory as much as I do if the Charlotte PD had done their due diligence, as always... Mm-hmm. When we get frustrated with these cases, it's like if they would have just done their due diligence, if I would have known that they would have scoured every little freaking inch that they possibly could, then maybe I wouldn't, like, potentially believe this as much as I do. But right now, I'm like, it does seem calculated how he left. Again, him going from okay to completely to being intoxicated to the point where he was physically intoxicated... according to witnesses,
mm-hmm.
that's odd. And again, all of these guys, like, look so similar, and they all, like, left a bar, or... Just very similar circumstances. Almost eerily so, like, very, it seems very pre-planned and very motivated, so... Anyway, that I was like, that's why I was like, stay with me, I promise. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hopefully it'll be...
I stayed the whole way.
It'll be worth it. And if you would like us to do a episode on the smiley face killings, please let us know. Nowadays... Kyle's family and friends feel in their heart that he is no longer alive. They only wish that they knew what happened to him and that someday he could be found for a proper funeral. But, like, his dad has also been like, I don't know if I want to know what happened to my son, unfortunately.
It's, like, at the same time as you... I mean, you want, like, the justice for them, but also... after that much time, like, knowing the details would be very... hurtful.
And also it's sort of like soul crushing, right? It's like, oh, I've known this all along, but until you actually know it,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Like, it brings up those feelings so much more so again, because you have to go through the grieving process, but then having that like rehashed out. And so for some people, that's needed to complete the grieving process. But
yeah.
Like we said, everybody grieves differently, so... maybe he just knows that that would be very hard.
Right, because it's like opening up the wound all over again. Mm-hmm. Again, Kyle's father believes his son was a victim of a random robbery gone wrong, and so does most of Kyle's family.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Fleischman is still very active in searching and helping the police and private investigators. The Facebook group Daniel made is still up and running. Doesn't have as much activity as it used to, but it is still up. So if you would like to show your support, you can find that link in the show notes. Kyle's case is still open and is still very well known in North Carolina. There is a $50,000 reward for information that leads to finding Kyle or breaking the case. And then on top of that, his family has offered, I think, like $20,000 or as a reward as well. While authorities and Kyle's family believe him to be no longer alive, they still have never located a body or found who killed him. If you have any information concerning Kyle Fleischman, please call, there are two numbers that I'll leave in the show notes, but one is for Crime Stoppers and one is for the Charlotte Mecklenburg Police Department. No tip is too small. Every little thing helps. And, all that the family really wants is for Kyle not to be forgotten and for this case to still be talked about. So with all that being said, that That is the vanishing. That is the vanishing of Kyle Fleischman.
Yeah. Sad.
So.
I hate cases without answers. But the answer we talked about, it's just so frustrating.
There are, yeah, again, like, there are some very interesting theories with, with Kyle. I don't know, for some reason, I really don't think that he would have been in that area of town when he knows what goes on there by himself. So,
right.
You know, this, the serial killer theory to me, like,
yeah,
sort of makes the most sense, but it doesn't, it has the least amount of evidence against it.
The thing is, even if you say it's because he was, like, maybe he was, like, very intoxicated and didn't realize he was walking into that park town, he still had to walk, like, 2 miles to get to that park. That's a very long way.
That's, like, a really,
especially
long
for somebody who's, like, intoxicated, I feel like I'd sit on the curb before I walk 2 miles. I mean, well, unless I could walk 2 miles and get home or something.
Right, and, you know, it's also strange to me that, like, if he did walk those 2 miles, you're going to sit there and tell me that no security camera saw him?
Right. I mean, I don't know what the road's like leading up there.
I mean, it's...
I'm sure it's not, like, remote.
I was going to say it's downtown,
right,
so...
Right, I'm sure it's not, like, remote.
No, so it just...
Hello?
Hello? Again, it's downtown, so it just doesn't... That's why I'm like, you're going to sit there and tell me that you didn't find any other security evidence, police department? I mean, maybe they didn't, but I just, that just doesn't, it doesn't sit right with me, and,
I would like to know what are in these sealed documents.
Right? Like, why are they sealed? I mean, I get it because it's an ongoing case still, technically, yes. But if they were to even give the public,
an inkling to what they
know. A little bit of a push, then, or just a little bit of a tidbit, they might be able to get more tips coming back, but the police, you know, the Charlotte PD has said that, you know, they still get tips about Kyle every year, but it's becoming less and less as the year goes on. So again, if you have any
anything
about it, please see the numbers down below, and you can leave your tip anonymously and all that good stuff. But
absolutely,
yeah. Shall we do recommendations?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any?
<this week? laughs> I just started watching. I started it a while back, but then I just never, like, I think I had to watch, like, one or two episodes. I started again, Grace and Frankie, because I heard it's really...
I love that show.
Have you seen it all?
Yes, I love it. Yeah, I haven't watched the new season, but it's very cute.
Yeah, so I'm on season one. Just, like, I think I'm, like, 5 episodes in or something like that. It's just one of those good, like, relaxing. Like, it's not, like, especially after, like, researching a bunch of true crime, it's, like, one of those good, like, feel-good, kind of funny, like, the actresses who play Grace and Frankie together, like the way they, like, ping-pong off each other. I think they're great.
Lily Tomlin is GOAT.
And Jane Fonda's the other one, right?
Jane Fonda is also GOAT.
Yes, I
for
love
sure.
That.
They have really great energy. I love them. And I also really love Martin Sheen. And I also love how they cast Sam Waterston and Martin Sheen as, like as their ex-husbands. Because I think they also have really great chemistry as well. I think the show overall is cast really, really well. And the writing is so fun. And it really...
It's funny.
Yeah. It's like...
And it's like, I feel like it's a concept that... I haven't seen done on, like, a show in that format before. Like,
right.
Like, and especially, like, I feel like, I mean, I particularly don't watch a lot of shows that are even focused around, like, the older generation. I feel like most of what I watch is, like, around, like, people my age or, like, even, like younger. Like, I watch a lot of, like, One Tree Hill, Pretty Little Liars, like, all that stuff. So, yeah, it's just, like, something different, something fun. I like it. Watch
nice.
It.
Check
it out.
Check it out. I've been watching a lot of movies from, like, the mid-aughts recently. So, like, I recently rewatched all of the Hangover series. And I rewatched this movie called Project X.
Oh, my gosh. My...
oh, man.
After that movie came out, this guy... Well, I mean, we had, like, a whole network of people that would, like, have parties. And everybody would text each other, like, the party's here. So, like, this one guy tried to throw a Project X party, and literally, so, like, where he lived, there was, like, kind of the shopping center behind, and, like, it was kind of, like, off to the back, mm-hmm. but, like, everybody was parking there and walking over. Literally 30 minutes, the cops were there.
Of course.
Like.
There was one party I went to in high school, sorry, Mom, that, it was this kid... who it was like the biggest like high school party mm-hmm. that I went to because I was never really like that type of person but mm-hmm. Also because I wasn't popular and I was bullied the worst but yeah so I went to the party and like we heard that the cops came and literally people like knocked down the back fence and ran into like the woods in the back and I'm like, you know, there's something to be said about, you know, a mindless, like, comedy that. The Hangover series, you know, really does show me, like, how far we've evolved as a...
seen each one.
What?
I know I've seen the first. I'm pretty sure I saw the second, but there's a third one, right? I don't mm-hmm. think I've seen a third.
The third is really good. I think out of all of them, I don't know. It's hard. They're all very different, but mm-hmm. anyway, regardless, it just shows me like, oh yeah, no, we wouldn't be making that joke now. Oh right. Yeah, we would definitely not be saying those words.
You find that in all the old, like comedy. I feel like comedy has evolved.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So yeah, I've just been doing that and just, you know, living in existential dread. No, it's all good. I've just been like super busy trying to start like a new job and everything, but
as one does.
Anyway, well, right, tell the good people where they can find us.
You can find us at The Midnight Record on TikTok and Instagram, TMR Pod on Twitter, and The Midnight Record at gmail.com.
Please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. It really helps us stay on the charts, and it also helps us see your feedback, and does give us, you know, serotonin, I guess. Yes. We do dopamine. Need that. A little bit of dopamine. We do need those good brain chemicals.
Please.
But, you know, also gives us great feedback on what you're enjoying, what we can work on, so on and so forth. We are hoping that every episode we're elevating a little bit. And, hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget to share it with all of your favorite true crime besties. And hi besties. And thank you for being here. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks.
Well, I guess until next time.
I'll see you at midnight.
I'll see you at midnight.
Yeah.